The following program is proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.com.au.
I get sense of when you see and bird.
Welcome to Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth on 92.1.
Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth, with you on your journey from bump to birth, helping you navigate through an experience so exciting and new, the changes to you and the baby that you could expect, the right advice and tips experts will direct, real facts and stories that will unearth the real sense of pregnancy and birth. It's episode 19 of Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth on the Muslim Community Radio, and today's topic is about cesarean childbirth. Every pregnant woman hopes for a short labour and delivery with no complications, manageable contractions, some pushing, then a beautiful, healthy baby. But it doesn't always work out that way. Some babies need to be delivered via cesarean section. No matter what type of birth you're planning and hoping for, you shouldn't rule out the possibility of a cesarean section. Even if you're hoping for a traditional birth, it may help to ease some fears to learn why and how C-sections are performed, just in case everything doesn't go as planned. Welcome back to Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth. Diane Zalitis, practicing midwife and clinical lead for Pregnancy, Birth and Baby Service, has returned once more, but this time to help us understand why pregnant women might need a cesarean birth and what they need to know before, during and after this surgery. Diane, welcome back to the show.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure to be here, Nadia, and hopefully I can shed some light on this whole cesarean topic for your listeners.
It's a very, very intense topic, and there are quite a lot of factors that we are going to talk about. And the first of which is, what exactly is a cesarean section?
Well, it is, as you said, it's an operation. So it's surgery to deliver your baby. So whenever your mum's not able to give birth vaginally, this is the alternate option. And so there is an incision, a cut through your lower tummy, into the uterus, and then the baby's delivered that way.
I just got the shivers.
That's it in a really brief nutshell, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
Not a very big cut that's made, and there's, you're given anaesthetic, but we can talk through all of that, I
absolutely
guess. Yeah.
So when is a C-section scheduled?
Okay, so there are two kind of main ways that you may, if you like, end up with a cesarean. One is that it's planned, so that's the scheduling. And the other one, if it's an emergency. And an emergency is what we call any cesareans that happen once your labour has started. So we can talk about those separately. But a planned or elective one is usually done for some really obvious reasons. So if your baby's coming breech or your baby's lying in some funny position, which they can do, and they're not going to be able to get themselves lined up to come out head first. If you're having twins and one of them is in odd positions as well. And if the placenta, so sometimes the placenta can lie right across the cervix. So it, if you like, it's blocking the exit. So we have to go to the alternate exit, which is a cesarean. And for some women who've had previous cesareans, they will go on then to have a book in another elective cesarean. But there's also, for a number of women who are choosing cesareans, or there are other reasons in consultation with their doctors, that they decide this is the way they want to go.
For those who, I guess, have a scheduled C-section, how do they simply prepare for it?
Talk to your doctor or your midwife so they can explain what the procedure is at the hospital that you're going to, and they will run through all of that with you. But mostly when it's planned, there's no rushing urgency attached to this, so there's time for things to be explained. You'll have an anaesthetic like an epidural, so you're awake, and then you're awake and able to see your baby when they're born. And that also means that your husband or your partner or another support person, whoever, you can have someone actually in the operating theatre with you. You're able to take lots of photos. It's also really good in this lead-up time, so remembering you're actually having an operation, so it's cutting through your abdominal muscles. So when you got home, that's going to be painful for quite a few weeks. So you might want to do things like cooking up lots of meals, so your freezer's full of meals, or you get, you know, the mother-in-law or your mother or people to do that for you. Organise someone to maybe help if you've got other children, and, you know, people that might be able to help with some of the stuff like washing the laundry. You're not really going to be able to carry laundry baskets out to the clothesline and things like that. So some of that thinking about the recovery after the surgery and who can help you with that when you go home is really good to do in preparation if this is happening.
Absolutely. It is important to prepare that well in advance and not to be afraid or shy to ask for assistance. Now,
absolutely.
C-sections are usually considered to be fairly safe, but it does come with some risks not associated with a traditional vaginal delivery. What are some of those risks?
The risks are mostly associated around the fact that it is actually a major operation and surgery. So with all operations, there is the risks of bleeding, blood loss, clotting, blood clots in your legs. It could be an infection in the wound. Sometimes there can be, when you're having an anaesthetic, there's always the risk that go with having an anaesthetic. And occasionally there's the possibility that there can be damage to other organs that are nearby, so like the bladder if it doesn't move out of the way and things like that. While they're not common, they are always risks that are associated with having an operation.
What is the recovery time for a C-section, and what are some of the tips for a fast recovery?
It takes a little bit longer than from a vaginal birth, from the pain from the wound to go away. So you need to be just conscious of that and give that time to heal. So it takes, you know, a good 3 to 6 weeks for the pain. And sometimes women can feel a little bit numb around where the operation site is, like a numbness. So be very careful with that and just give yourself that time. You won't be able to drive for close to 6 weeks because it's your lower abdominal muscles. When you're driving and you're lifting one leg up and down, it uses your lower abdominal muscles, and so that's going to really hurt. So you won't be able to do that. So it's recommended that you don't, and therefore it's not really that safe. From the bleeding, so there's always a bit of bleeding after you have a baby, and so that's about the same as well. Sometimes it's a bit less because they tend to clean the uterus out a bit more, but you still have the same reasons why you have bleeding exists. So it's just watching your wound, keeping it clean and dry so it doesn't get infected and it heals well. They're the main things to look for, to take care of.
Now, we touched on this in the episode pertaining to pregnancy myths, and I know for some women they may have missed out on that episode, so let's readdress it. Can women who have had a cesarean delivery still be able to deliver vaginally in their future pregnancies?
Yes, they can. Again, it depends on why you had your cesarean in the first place. So a number of the reasons why you plan a cesarean, like a breech baby or the baby lying in an odd position or twins or the placenta over the cervix, they're not reasons around your labour not working or your baby not fitting. So they're the reasons why you may not have a successful labour after a cesarean. So you can have a try, you can do it again. And so you just talk to your doctors and your midwives and say, I would really like to try to have a vaginal birth. And for the most part, if it's been one of these reasons, there's no reason why not. But if you've had an emergency cesarean and it's because the baby got stuck or the baby wouldn't fit through your pelvis really well, so they may go, well, you know, that may well happen again. And you can still try to have a labour and have a vaginal birth, but it may be that you would need to have another cesarean again. So it really depends on the reason why, but you can. There's no hard and fast rule either way. Women definitely can have vaginal births after a cesarean, and for some women they just have all cesareans.
Absolutely. Now, what would you say to those people who make awful, awful remarks like C-section mums are not real mums because they chose the so-called easy way out of delivery?
Look, I think that we need to be a little bit nicer to each other. There is no right or wrong way to have a baby, and the way you give birth does not define you as a mother. You are a mother because you have a baby. How you give birth doesn't make you a parent. And, you know, there are loads of reasons that we don't know about people and their lives and what's going on and why this needed to happen. There is so much, you know, judgment on women during the whole pregnancy, birth and parenting business, you know, and there's so much competition. I really feel social media has probably become one thing that's made this worse because it's so easy to compare ourselves. And the thing is, don't compare yourself to anybody else. You know, your birth experience is your birth experience and it's the right one for you. And you and your baby, that's what makes you a mum for the way it happens. Let's just cut each other a little bit of slack and just go, you know, we don't know everyone's journey and we don't know the reasons why you need to do this or you choose to do this. There are many, 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 many ways your pregnancy will go and your labour will go and your birth could go.
Absolutely. I think those kinds of remarks are pretty insensitive to the trauma that these women go through to get their babies into the world safely. And as you so nicely put, that every pregnancy and birth experience is unique to the individual. And no one knows each other's circumstances. No one knows what happens behind closed doors. You know, it's pretty tough for everyone and we wish everyone the best. But, you know, I'm sure what we've discussed today will help women be more prepared if a cesarean birth becomes mandatory. So I'd like to thank you immensely, Diane, for providing wonderful information today.
You're very welcome, as always, Nadia. Thank you.
The following program is proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.com.au.
Making sense of when you see and birth.
Welcome to Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth on 92.1.
Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth, with you on your journey from bump to birth, helping you navigate through an experience so exciting and new, the changes to you and the baby that you could expect, the right advice and tips experts will direct, real facts and stories that will unearth the real sense of pregnancy and birth. It's episode 19 of Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth on the Muslim Community Radio, and today's topic is about cesarean childbirth. Every pregnant woman hopes for a short labour and delivery with no complications, manageable contractions, some pushing, then a beautiful, healthy baby. But it doesn't always work out that way. Some babies need to be delivered via cesarean section. No matter what type of birth you're planning and hoping for, you shouldn't rule out the possibility of a cesarean section. Even if you're hoping for a traditional birth, it may help to ease some fears to learn why and how C-sections are performed, just in case everything doesn't go as planned.
Welcome back to Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth. Diane Zalitis, practicing midwife and clinical lead for Pregnancy, Birth and Baby Service, has returned once more, but this time to help us understand why pregnant women might need a cesarean birth and what they need to know before, during and after this surgery. Diane, welcome back to the show.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure to be here, Nadia, and hopefully I can shed some light on this whole cesarean topic for your listeners.
It's a very, very intense topic, and there are quite a lot of factors that we are going to talk about. And the first of which is, what exactly is a cesarean section?
Well, it is, as you said, it's an operation. So it's surgery to deliver your baby. So whenever your mum's not able to give birth vaginally, this is the alternate option. And so there is an incision, a cut through your lower tummy, into the uterus, and then the baby's delivered that way.
I just got the shivers.
That's it in a really brief nutshell, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
Not a very big cut that's made, you know, and there's, you're given anaesthetic, but we can talk through all of that, I
Absolutely.
Guess. Yeah.
So when is a C-section scheduled?
Okay, so there are two kind of main ways that you may, if you like, end up with a cesarean. One is that it's planned, so that's the scheduling. And the other one, if it's an emergency. And an emergency is what we call any cesareans that happen once your labour has started. So we can talk about those separately. But a planned or elective one is usually done for some really obvious reasons. So if your baby's coming breech or your baby's lying in some funny position, which they can do, and they're not going to be able to get themselves lined up to come out head first. If you're having twins and one of them is in odd positions as well. And if the placenta, so sometimes the placenta can lie right across the cervix. So it, if you like, is blocking the exit. So we have to go to the alternate exit, which is a cesarean. And for some women who've had previous cesareans, they will go on then to have a book in another elective cesarean. But there's also for a number of women who are choosing cesareans, or there are other reasons in consultation with their doctors that they decide this is the way they want to go.
For those who, I guess, have a scheduled C-section, how do they simply prepare for it?
Talk to your doctor or your midwife so they can explain what the procedure is at the hospital that you're going to, and they will run through all of that with you. But mostly when it's planned, there's no rushing urgency attached to this, so there's time for things to be explained. You'll have an anaesthetic like an epidural, so you're awake, and then you're awake and able to see your baby when they're born. And that also means that your husband or your partner or another support person, whoever, you can have someone actually in the operating theatre with you. You're able to take lots of photos. It's also really good in this lead-up time, so remembering you're actually having an operation, so it's cutting through your abdominal muscles. So when you got home, that's going to be painful for quite a few weeks. So you might want to do things like cooking up lots of meals, so your freezer's full of meals, or you get, you know, the mother-in-law or your mother or people to do that for you. Organise someone to maybe help if you've got other children, and, you know, people that might be able to help with some of the stuff like the washing, the laundry. You're not really going to be able to carry laundry baskets out to the clothesline and things like that. So some of that thinking about the recovery after the surgery and who can help you with that when you go home is really good to do in preparation if this is happening.
Absolutely. It is important to prepare that well in advance and not to be afraid or shy to ask for assistance. Now,
absolutely.
C-sections are usually considered to be fairly safe, but it does come with some risks not associated with a traditional vaginal delivery. What are some of those risks?
The risks are mostly associated around the fact that it is actually a major operation and surgery. So with all operations, there is the risks of bleeding, blood loss, clotting, blood clots in your legs. It could be an infection in the wound, sometimes there can be, when you're having an anaesthetic, there's always the risk that go with having an anaesthetic. And occasionally there's a possibility that there can be damage to other organs that are nearby, so like the bladder if it doesn't move out of the way and things like that. While they're not common, they are always risks that are associated with having an operation.
What is the recovery time for a C-section, and what are some of the tips for a fast recovery?
It takes a little bit longer than from a vaginal birth, from the pain from the wound to go away. So you need to be just conscious of that and give that time to heal. So it takes, you know, a good 3 to 6 weeks for the pain. And sometimes women can feel a little bit numb around where the operation site is, like a numbness. So be very careful with that and just give yourself that time. You won't be able to drive for close to 6 weeks because it's your lower abdominal muscles. When you're driving and you're lifting one leg up and down, it uses your lower abdominal muscles, and so that's going to really hurt. So you won't be able to do that. So it's recommended that you don't, and therefore it's not really that safe. From the bleeding, so there's always a bit of bleeding after you have a baby, and so that's about the same as well. Sometimes it's a bit less because they tend to clean the uterus out a bit more, but you still have the same reasons why you have bleeding exists. So it's just watching your wound, keeping it clean and dry so it doesn't get infected and it heals well. They're the main things to look for, to take care of.
Now, we touched on this in the episode pertaining to pregnancy myths, and I know for some women they may have missed out on that episode, so let's readdress it. Can women who have had a cesarean delivery still be able to deliver vaginally in their future pregnancies?
Yes, they can. Again, it depends on why you had your cesarean in the first place. So a number of the reasons why you plan a cesarean, like a breech baby or the baby lying in an odd position or twins or the placenta over the cervix, they're not reasons around your labour not working or your baby not fitting. So they're the reasons why you may not have a successful labour after a cesarean. So you can have a try, you can do it again. And so you just talk to your doctors and your midwives and say, we'd really like to try to have a vaginal birth. And for the most part, if it's been one of these reasons, there's no reason why not. But if you've had an emergency cesarean and it's because the baby got stuck or the baby wouldn't fit through your pelvis really well, so they may go, well, you know, that may well happen again. And you can still try to have a labour and have a vaginal birth, but it may be that you would need to have another cesarean again. So it really depends on the reason why, but you can. There's no hard and fast rule either way. Women definitely can have vaginal births after a cesarean, and for some women they just have all cesareans.
Absolutely. Now, what would you say to those people who make awful, awful remarks like C-section mums are not real mums because they chose the so-called easy way out of delivery?
Look, I think that we need to be a little bit nicer to each other. There is no right or wrong way to have a baby, and the way you give birth does not define you as a mother. You are a mother because you have a baby. How you give birth doesn't make you a parent. And, you know, there are loads of reasons that we don't know about people and their lives and what's going on and why this needed to happen. There is so much, you know, judgment on women during the whole pregnancy, birth and parenting business, you know, and there's so much competition. I really feel social media has probably become one thing that's made this worse because it's so easy to compare ourselves. And the thing is, don't compare yourself to anybody else. You know, your birth experience is your birth experience and it's the right one for you. And you and your baby, that's what makes you a mum for the way it happens. Let's just cut each other a little bit of slack and just go, you know, we don't know everyone's journey and we don't know the reasons why you need to do this or you choose to do this. There are many, 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 many ways your pregnancy will go and your labour will go and your birth can go.
Absolutely. I think those kinds of remarks are pretty insensitive to the trauma that these women go through to get their babies into the world safely. And as you so nicely put, that every pregnancy and birth experience is unique to the individual. And no one knows each other's circumstances. No one knows what happens behind closed doors. You know, it's pretty tough for everyone and we wish everyone the best. But, you know, I'm sure what we've discussed today will help women be more prepared if a cesarean birth becomes mandatory. So I'd like to thank you immensely, Diane, for providing wonderful information today.
You're very welcome, as always, Nadia. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 19 of Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth. I hope the information covered today gave you a better perspective of what a cesarean childbirth entails, just in case you will have to go through it. Join me for the last episode of the series as we talk about what to expect in the delivery room after giving birth. I'm Nadia. See you next time.
Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth.
Welcome to Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth on 92.1.
Making Sense of Pregnancy and Birth, with you on your journey from bump to birth, helping you navigate through an experience so exciting and new, the changes to you and the baby that you could expect, the right advice and tips experts will direct, real facts and stories that will unearth the real sense of pregnancy and birth.